Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
Adam Clayton Powell, for the first time, was defeated. Charles Rangel won in a very close election. Within a few years, Adam Clayton Powell would contract cancer and die.
If we must die, let us not die like hogs, penned in some inglorious spot. What use is an extra year or two to the man who kills the time that God has given him?
Much of the story of Adam Clayton Powell is on display here in this anteroom of the Abyssinia Baptist Church. But there are many parts of the Adam Powell story that you cannot see hanging up on the walls, mainly the ironies in his life. Isn't it ironic that Adam Powell was such a loud voice that few people would listen to? Perhaps if his loud voice had been heeded on the question of police corruption, there may not have been a Knapp Commission. If his loud voice about government corruption had been heeded, there may not have been a Watergate. If his loud voice against hypocrisy on Capitol Hill had been heeded, perhaps Wayne Hayes and Tom Dodd and Earl Butz and Carl Albert and countless others might have not have been caught in such embarrassing situations. Adam Clayton Powell represents still another chapter in a long story of black militant fighters against oppression and injustice here in America. He wasn't perfect. He had his faults, but don't we all? The point is, he was a fighter. If he did play He worked harder than he played. Most of all, he was a fighter.
As far as I know here, you're in trouble. Where it says about 30% are unemployed. That's why I'm working hard to get this surplus food here. Some of you say to me, well, I'm not like you. I'm not a congressman. I haven't got education. I haven't got work. But you're a human being. And you know what you've got? You've got in your hand the power to use your vote and to use even those few cents you get from welfare to spend them only where you want to spend them. A young slave boy stood one day before the greatest ruler of his day. And God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, Lord, only I've got a stick, that's all. He said, well, let me use what's in your hand. And God used that slave boy with a stick in his hand to divide the Red Seas, march through a wilderness, bring water out of rocks, manna from heaven, and bring his people to freedom land. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? George Washington Carver, who was so frail that he was traded for a broken-down horse as a slave boy. And George Washington Carver, sitting in the science laboratory at Tuskegee, told me, he said, Dr. Powell, he said, I just go out on the field each morning at 5 o'clock, and I let God guide me. And I bring back these little things and work them over my laboratory. And that man did more to revolutionize the agricultural science of peanuts and of cotton and sweet potato than any other human being in the field of agricultural science. What's in your hand? Just let God use you, that's all. What's in your hand? I've got a string in my hand, that's all, and I'm flying a kite. And way up in the heavens, lightning strikes it. And I, Benjamin Franklin, discover for the first time the possibilities of electricity with a string in my hand. What's in your hand? Little hunchback sitting in a Roman jail. I haven't got anything in my hand but an old quill pen. But God says, write what I tell you to write. Paul wrote, I have run my race with patience. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, as laid up in me. Slingshot, and the enemies of my people are great and big and more numerous than we are. Well, little David, go down to the brook and pick out a few stones and come on back and close your eyes if you want to and pull back that slingshot and let it go. And David killed the biggest enemy, the leader of the giants, against his people, and his people became free, just letting God guide a stone in his hand. And a few years passed, and David is a king. And God says, what's in your hand? He said, I've got a harp in my hand. He said, well, David, play on your harp. And he played, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Man hanging on a cross? I've got two nails in my hand. Father! I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? And that man, with two nails in his hand, spit history in hair, B.C. and A.D. And what's in your hand tonight, people of Cambridge? You've got God in your hand, and he'll let you win, because he's on your side and one with God. Always in the majority, so walk with him and talk with him and work with him and stick together and fight together. And with God's hand in your hand, the victory will be accomplished here sooner than you dreamed, sooner than you hoped, sooner than you prayed for, sooner than you imagined. Good night and God bless you.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come. See, now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This.
Hi everybody, I'm Jonathan Fields and this is Good Life Project. So my guest today is Josh Kaufman and this is a special episode. One of the things that we've discovered through a lot of our viewers is that the process of trying to live a good life, a better life, often requires you learning a new set of skills. We've had a ton of questions over the last year from people who say, I would love to do this, but I don't have time in my life to do it. I don't want to wait forever to make it happen. So we're bringing you Josh, who's also the author of a book called The First 20 Hours, who's an expert in, I guess, what I would call accelerated learning. So great to be hanging out with you today.
Thanks for having me. Great to hang out.
Couldn't sort of like have asked for a better person to drop in at a better time, because it really is. It's an interesting thing. It seems like the world is moving faster.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to get stuff done. A lot of people want to make big changes and feel like they're living better lives, but they look out there and they're like, there's stuff that I need to know, stuff I need to learn, stuff I need to master to do it. And I just don't have time in the day to
do
it.
Right.
So I'm curious. I mean, I want to get like right in with you, sort of like the idea.
Okay, I got booted out of the host slot here today. So I'm calling in like you guys. Today's topic, mortgage-free villages and build-as-you-go business model. From our radio program, which we're in weekly building momentum, we got more traction this week because let's look at the high contact here. We met them online Monday by radio. 24 hours, and it's the program on Monday is from 6 to 7 p.m. Then we met them in person, boots on the ground in Jacksonville, and had a meeting with them from 6 to 7 p.m. 1 hour on Monday. They gave us another hour plus on Tuesday. Because after the meeting adjourned, the meeting was only 1 hour. And then, you know, mill around, meet and greet. And this is, they came out in the rain. And then even after the meeting, they stood in the lobby speaking. And then when they closed that part of the radio station down, they stayed and talked in a parking lot. Okay. So that's all high touch. And that's my, yesterday, Wednesday, we had a conference call, wet time, 6 to 7 p.m. Actually, 6 to, we went to, it was a 90-minute phone call. It, now, originally, we wanted to be no more than an hour, no more than that. But it went a total of 93 minutes. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we've had high-touch activities with these people. So now the topic here, mortgage-free community, excuse me, mortgage-free villages and builders should go business model. That's something I guess I was talking to Delmar, and we were talking about the builders should go business model. So I had written this up actually probably last week, and we're getting to it today because I had, you know, well, anyway. So what is the topics on here today? Why rent for? Well, anyway, what I want to do today is in preparation to, because we got, starting with the, which is probably the easiest part, what, how are we going to sell it? Because we're going to sell it before we build it. And that's part of the financing strategy. So first 20 hours, I'm going to play a little bit of this. And the first 20 hours, the idea of the book, the first 20 hours, which you can get on Kindle, or they have YouTube videos on it too. The whole idea of the first 20 hours is you can learn anything on the planet within 20, now within the first 20 hours of you tackling that particular topic. It does not mean you're going to be world class. You're not going to be a master at it. It's just in 20 hours, you'll gain enough of the fundamentals. Okay, where you self-correct. One of the best analogies that I used to, like I like, is everybody on the planet, including world-class sprinters and long-distance runners and the Olympics, that we all started out just like them. We were all born, we couldn't even crawl. We had to learn how to pull our bodies up, and that was frustration. Then when we got past that frustration, you know, then we had to learn how to crawl. And then we were looking at people upright and walking around, so we got enough confidence to try to lift ourselves up just to stand. You know, that was a little bit frustrating and humiliating. So we forgot it because we're all, you know, grown now or whatever. But just to stand, and then when we finally made it to stand, we didn't stand long, maybe we fell down and started crying. But then when we got past that, you know, well, it's no big deal to fall. It's sometimes, most of the times, so I don't even hurt now. All right, let me stand up and let me take that first step. And we took that first step and we fell down. This is all on the way to becoming a world-class sprinter, people, okay? The same thing that they did become, it's so. The first 20 hours, and then you know, and then once you got the hang of, all right, I've taken a step or two and fell down. You know what? I know enough where I can self-correct and teach myself how to walk and run. Any of you have, like, little kids out there, I don't know if anybody has documented this. Probably somebody on the planet has. But, you know, but in 20 hours, like, if you want to learn a language, what is your target language, you know, or even if you don't have, just throw you out in a foreign country, you don't know the language at all. Within 20 hours, you're going to learn some basics, you know. You're going to learn something basic where you'll be able to eventually get through the day. All right, mispronouncing words, listening to people, hola, you know, como esta, you know, Germany, guten Tag, guten Morgen, you know, guten Abend. So the first 20 hours, so what we're going to do is we're going to, we've got a project that we have to start, that people are eager to start. So we're going to lay out the whole process in 20 blocks, okay? Now, you can also, matter of fact, while I'm waiting for my laptop to do something. Okay, we can also take a look at how you can accelerate what you do, and I'm just waiting for my laptop. I want to play one of my favorites, but it proves the point. Okay. We as individuals only can live 1 hour at a time. All right. But, here it is. I'm going to play this. You've heard it a gazillion times, but like I said, we're going to reverse engineer. We're going to take our podcast time today, and it's only 3 after 11, so we got plenty of time. We're going to reverse engineer what it's going to take to build the two buildings that we played on here before, the multi-shack, which we'll probably call it something different, and then the solar cabin, because both of them will be solar cabins. So we're going to go to, but we're going to look at what we want to do right now is grasp the concept of the first 20 hours and how we're going to use it as we reverse engineer the process. So, and then we're going to wrap it into a particular scripture. Matter of fact, let me put the scripture out there right now. Habakkuk 2:2. We're going to take what we play right now and link it to a Habakkuk 2:2. So the people out there listening, remind me of that on how we're going to link what I'm about to play into Habakkuk 2:2 and the reverse engineering of building a house.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. Couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch look new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Hello, this is Greg Allison from Green Greg's Garden and Worm Farm, coming to you from a town that's for sale, yes, from the Farmer's Cotton Warehouse in Timsboro, Georgia. Yes, this town is for sale. That's one property. There's a syrup mill over here.
Since 2007, more than 50% of the world's population have been living in cities. They are the powerhouse of our global economy. Cities provide us with unimaginable opportunities, great resources, and endless options for dinner. That being said, cities are affected by COVID like no other place.
The coronavirus recession eviscerating the revenue that local governments need to keep essential services going.
Two-thirds of people would consider moving if their jobs let them telework from home.
However, many middle-class people have been struggling to continue their lives in big cities. With the pandemic, the situation for them is bad. Today, 47% of college graduates can work remotely.
Okay, if anybody can hear me, press 1. I'm getting feedback on my own phone. Can anybody hear me out there? Okay.
Hmm. Guide, how's everybody doing today? I trust all is well. As you all can see, still.
What is going on, everyone? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to own some land? Have you ever wanted to be the mayor of a town? Are you tired of following the rules and dancing for the man? Want to make your own rules and be the man? Well, if you said yes to all of those, this list is for you. There are towns in the United States that are for sale. And I'm not kidding. You can buy an entire town. Some are abandoned, some are not, but they're still for sale. It does sound weird that a town might be for sale, and I get it, but people have actually bought towns when they went up for sale. The actress Kim Basinger, at the time I think she was married to Alec Baldwin, bought a small town in Georgia not far from Atlanta in 1989. And just recently, in 2018, the small town of Tiller, Oregon was sold for under $4 million. The entire town, school, general store, all the property was sold. So this type of thing does happen. Those two may be off the market, but there's plenty still for sale. Let's take a look. Number 10, Sweat, South Dakota. There's only one home standing on this six-acre town on the southern border of South Dakota, and it's also said to be haunted. Sweat was founded in 1931 by a farmer whose last name was Sweat. No ego there. The dude's just out naming towns after himself. Kind of weird, but okay. The property was passed from person to person over the years.
All right, can anybody hear?
A man named Lance Benson acquired the town. Benson later got a divorce, and part of the divorce agreement, he signed over the town to his ex-wife. In 2012, he reacquired the town, and in 2014, he offered it for sale for the sum of about $400,000. The town sale became international news. I guess anytime you're going to sell a town, people want to know about it. In October 2015, the bank that was actually holding the mortgage foreclosed on the town, and the property was lost by Mr. Benson to the bank. Anyway, they offered it up at a reduced price of $250,000 in 2015. There's nothing to do here except drink. Luckily, the only business in town is a bar. Currently, the town has 10 residents listed, and I guess they're nearby farms, but they're actually not living in, if you could call it, downtown Sweat. Number 9, Calaveras, Nevada. Calaveras is off on a lonely stretch of Highway 95 surrounded by mountains and endless miles of Nevada desert. The town isn't far from the California-Arizona border, which is how it got its name. Nancy Kidwell is the owner, she's the mayor, the police chief, and she wants to sell the place. Nancy and her husband Slim bought the property in the 1960s. And if you can give her $8 million, the town, with its casino, general store, airstrip, and 250-ish residents, are now your problem. Strange little note about Nancy. She and her husband Slim sold airplanes at the Torrance Airport a couple miles from where I grew up, back before I was born. Elvis Presley filmed a scene of one of his movies in their sales office at the Torrance Airport, which, again, not too far from where I grew up. Slim was 30 years older than Nancy, and he passed away in 1983. Nancy did the only reasonable thing a grieving widow would do. She married his son a couple years later. Son from another marriage. Wasn't that weird. Anyway, Nancy knew how to keep it in the family. Sadly, they hadn't even got to the seven-year itch part before Slim Jr. passed away after 5 years of being married to Nancy. Think they need to start investigating Nancy. I'm just kidding. Number 8, Johnsonville, Connecticut. Founded in 1802 on the Salmon River, about halfway between Hartford and the Long Island Sound, you have Johnsonville. Nothing really went on here for like 30 years. Then in 1932, the Neptune Mill was constructed beside a dam just north of the Salmon River Cove. And
okay. I'm going to see if you guys can hear me now. I just heard the audio while I was playing. Robin, can you hear me? Robin, can you hear me? Let me see. I'm opening up. Willie, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Delmar?
Yeah, I heard everything you said and played. You were playing.
All right. I couldn't hear myself. And I got Willie, can you hear me? Willie?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me? Okay. All right. Anyway, here's where I want to go. The topic we got is mortgage-free villages and build-as-you-go business model, which Delmar, we were talking about this a few days ago, build-as-you-go. But what I want to do, because people, the group that we met let's review this week because today's Thursday. Monday we had the radio program. We had an ensemble. Our ensemble is me, Delmar, and Robin, and we had a guest. I'm not going to name her name, but we had a guest on, and she heard us the week before when she got a book giveaway. So we gave a book giveaway the third show. And we had 5 reservations, okay? We didn't give any kind of book. Now, Delmar wasn't on that one. That's the only broadcast he's been so far. Now, but what's interesting, but the next Hello. Show, with no giveaway, we had her on as a guest, the lady that got received the book, free book, the week before from Viata. And Delmar was there, the opening prayer. He gave a sermon right at the end, and then he closed it out. And we missed tripling our reservations by just one person, but we went over double. So now, that's on Monday. On Tuesday night, in the rain, they came on out to our event. Boots on the Ground in Jacksonville. And then yesterday, which is the third, where me and Delmar call them high touches, was after they met us in person Tuesday, then they were on the call, most of them, maybe not all of them, most of them on last night. And our timeline for each day has been from 6 to 7 Monday radio show, 6 to 7 meeting time, face-to-face, boots on the ground. Conference call last night, 6, it was supposed to go to 6 to 6:30, but it went, you know what, that call went, no, hour and a half. It went an hour and a half last night. So now with all their energy, I'm looking at the best way, as we look at the first 20 hours and basically reverse engineer what we want to do. Starting with after the property's built, all right, it's going to be sold. So we start off with how are we going to sell it and or rent it before we put the hand. And then we just work our way back. And then we got a written plan based on which we're going to break it down to really one sentence as the vision statement for Habakkuk 2:2. We shall write a plan, or write the plan and make it plain. We're going to condense it down to one sentence. So that's something that we can organize today. So now with that said, all right, Delmar can hear us. Robin is, you know, Robin's in the doctor's appointment. I forgot that.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, you're here now. Okay, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Robin, real
quick.
Yeah,
Delmar's on the line, too.
Okay, Robin, I got a text a few minutes ago. What's her name? The lady that came to the meeting on Tuesday, and you two talked on the phone, Mosby?
Lakeisha.
No. Yolanda Mosby.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me double check now. Let's see. Yep, Yolanda Mosby. Yeah, she want contact her ASAP. Robin,
Yolanda, okay.
Yeah, Yolanda Mosby.
Okay. All right.
Okay, all right. Yeah, she
did
sent
she say
that to
why?
Text me a few minutes ago. Well, she wanted your contact information. So I'm telling you right now, you know, so you may as well just call in. Yeah, I don't know what else she wanted, but that's what she put in the text. Because I have, you know, your contact. So instead of me rifling through my phone because I haven't memorized it yet, you on the air, so I'll tell you that way. All right.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Now, before we get into, you know, the deconstructing the parts and all that, Willie, last night, okay, give us your take and what we need to do and some steps we need to take so we can incorporate it in all of this.
Well, I was saying we're on the right track, and like you say, while the iron's hot, you hit it. So we should think you're on the right path, go forward, and we just get everything done.
Okay.
The other thing I mentioned was we should make sure we plan a event somewhere to where everybody can be there. The four of us.
Right.
And where, you know, we get everybody together and have maybe on our final build or whatever.
Okay, that is a good idea. Now the names that you named, because, Murray, you're talking, except Chris, you're talking about the original four. So,
correct.
No, Chris is, he's not one of the original four. He's out. He can come, but he's not. The original four, just to make it official, is me, you, Delmar, and Robin. That's the original four. Chris could still be there. Now, let me ask you this question, since you did bring up Chris. All right, everybody that I just named are the originals. I'm in Florida. You're in Waco, Texas. Robin's up in the Pacific Northwest state of Washington, and Delmar's in Tennessee. And then Chris is in Illinois. So, all right, what we know how we can connect visually through Zoom. But boots on the ground, which I'm assuming you're talking about, that would have to be planned out. So give us, if you can, more detail of that vision, including those five people.
I think it would be good for us to be there to meet everybody, be a meet and greet. You know, it's one thing to see somebody on your phone or whatever, but it's a whole different experience when you're there, as they say, pressing flesh, shaking hands with everybody, getting, you know,
right.
it's just better to have that person, you know, it's going to.
Okay.
I look at it as
I agree 100%.
We are the representatives of what everybody has bought into. So we should be there to say, here we are. We're, you know, here's the crew in full. And because people
okay.
want to meet you. I mean, it's just like meeting celebrities. We're not celebrities, but I'm saying it's just like meeting
right.
celebrities. People want to meet them. So.
Right. Well, that's what happened Tuesday because, like I said, I didn't think anybody was going to show up when that rain started coming down. And some people didn't come because, they got back in touch with us the next day. So, with that said, well, I'll just throw it out there, all right. I got a place in Florida. It's 4 acres. I'm just putting it out there, but we have to have a consensus. I'll send pictures out. I don't know if I ever sent you pictures of that 4-acre spread, Willie, but or you, Delmar, but I can send those out today. And then I put it that way. That can be one location at least. If we decide, I mean, I'm just basing that on where we got the most numbers of people right now, which is Jacksonville. And this 4 acres is 90 miles, 90 minutes away from Jacksonville, Florida. So that could be, we can probably hold it at maybe a location in Jacksonville as well as at the location, you know, 90 miles out. But that's going to have to come through a consensus. I'm just throwing it out there as a geographical place to me, as opposed to going to Nome, Alaska, where we're not boots on the ground up there yet. So, Delmar, any thoughts? Delmar was there. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
hello. I heard everything you said. I concur, as Willie's saying, you're saying, it's important that we do be seen in flesh, spirit, flesh. And again, it has to be planned. And I like Florida when the weather's right, so have a problem with that. So get the place out
okay.
and probably we'll get there.
Okay. And it is September the 28th or something like that. Yeah. So we're talking about Willie. Now, when he, because you know, when it hits October 31st, it's holiday season. So we're talking about planning for 2024.
Well, I was thinking, when should this deal be finished?
Well, what we're talking about getting that done within a matter of less than 30 days from today. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because with this, with the energy that was in that room Tuesday, and the energy that was on the phone on that conference call last night, and once again, we're talking about, it were only two guys that came out, the rest were women, they came out. So I'm looking at these, and then two of the people that called in on the program Monday, they were two men, both had jobs, but they're homeless living in their car. So the energy is ready to go. You know, you would have thought these were teenagers. I mean, it was that much energy. So I'm sure we can get stuff done in less than 30 days from, really, from Monday. But, well, I'm already in Florida. All right, so that's me. All right. Like I say, you're in Texas. Delmar's in Tennessee. And then Robin's up in, Washington State. And Chris is in Illinois. All right, so, and then the rest of the, the people, like the people you saw in that picture.
Are you?
They're all.
Are you referencing Chris Collins?
Well, Willie brought him up. But yeah, Chris
okay,
Collins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. I explained to him that the original four are me, you, mm-hmm. Willie, and what do you call it, Delmar. That's the original
yeah.
four.
Yeah.
The only reason
he's not part of the original four.
Yeah, the only reason I mention is because he seems like he's got these ideas and he has the manpower and enough experience at building stuff to where I was looking at him as more of an advisor
mm-hmm.
since he has the most experience.
Yeah.
Considering that's what he's doing for a living.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the only reason I mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a real good guy, but he's more of a self-promoter. He doesn't really like get involved on our projects, if you will. So, but
I
agree
I
with
more
you 100%.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I see him more as an advisor than pushing it kind of, you know, hey, use this technique, not that technique kind of person. You know, that's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think Lafayette might be able to serve as an advisor, too. Lafayette is mm-hmm. My ex-husband, and he has a lot of expertise in building and stuff like that. I'm going on hold, you guys.
All right, well, we can fit them all in. That shouldn't be any problem. So, like I say, it's we got to decide where it's going to be right now. You know, let's say Jacksonville and vicinity. And then we have to set a date and then see who can show up. I mean, whoever can't show up in person, Robin's the mass communication person where she knows how to, and you too, Willie, you know, because like Tuesday, Robin attended the meeting, at least half the meeting, in Jacksonville. We tried to do a video feed because we had a lot of stuff going on, boots on the ground. Just Tuesday was something else. But when we got settled in, I brought her in on my phone, on speakerphone. So the entire room, and it was the perfect size room for the perfect number of people. So they were able to hear everything Robin said crystal clear. So if a person can't make it, they can attend that way. But Willie, what in your mind? What would be looking at? You know, I'm available any day and every day, and including Thanksgiving. Our birthday on this podcast is Christmas Eve, and I'm available on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. Now, that's me. And like I say, once October 30, you know, after Halloween, I'm sure we see Christmas decorations in some stores already. They've almost forgotten about Thanksgiving, but so what do you see as just a ballpark guesstimate time? Well, month and day.
Well, I was thinking either that last week in October or that first week in November. I wouldn't go any further than the first week of November. Definitely after
all right,
that.
That makes sense.
Because I know the second week in November, some schools are already out for Thanksgiving. School I used to work out, the college got out that second week in November, so they were all gone. And then there's some school districts, it just depends on where you are in the country. They're either out a week before Thanksgiving, definitely out the week of Thanksgiving. Some a week, Thanksgiving week and a week after. So it just depends.
Okay.
Where you are.
All right.
But I wouldn't go past
that. Well,
that
makes sense. That gives us about a month's cushion because this month of September is almost out. And so that gives us all of October. And you said, well, let's look, pull up the calendar right now. Let's see, November 2023 calendar.
Wednesday is the first.
That's the Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, and the event probably should be held on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about Saturday the 4th?
Yeah, that
November.
Could be it. That could be it.
Yeah, because you're right, anything past that weekend. Even the 4th, you're in holiday spirit. Okay. But, yeah, the 4th would be good. I mean, well, the 4th is good with me. Okay. So what I'll do, hold it down. Let's start with the original 4 here, what we got of the original 4. Dalmar, you there?
Yeah, I'm here then, yeah.
Not,
the
Dalmar,
me
well,
may be medical. I may not
right.
be medically able to travel that way. I have some restrictions
okay.
on how I can go get around, so that may be effective.
But but we can have you. You're available by audio, though, because if you get on
yeah,
the phone, we can still pipe
right.
you in that way. Okay, yeah.
I can
so, yeah.
get some blood down if you want to.
Okay, that's good. All right. So, all right, when Robin gets back on, hold it. I'm supposed to be texting her somebody's phone number. Okay. Unless, all right, hold on, Robin. Let me get to this person's phone number. Oh, here it is. Let's see. Okay. Now I'm discovering a new feature on my phone. All right, wait a minute. Well, I'll figure out. I got to send a phone number to Robin. I got to get my phone. So let me play this. I'll be right back.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned. And the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. Couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking
9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, we finna fix this house. I said, what kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, these my friends. The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow.
Okay, I did my secretarial work for the hour, making sure people had their phone numbers. So yeah, we just need to find out Robin and then Chris. Chris, if you're listening, press 1. I don't see him on the board, but sometimes you don't see people on the board. But press 1, that will get him in. Also, people like Beasley, if you're out there listening, anybody. So we're talking about a tentative date of November the 4th. So we need to plan this out this weekend, starting today. So, all right, now, Willie, keep on giving us your vision, because what we're going to do, Willie, is take this vision, and then after we get all the details out, we're going to put it in a statement where Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision down and make it plain so that we can come into fruition. So what's your vision of us being together? Well, you already explained part of it, but what are some of the activities you see? All right, the meet and greet, we're going to have food, so that's in the hour. That's a given.
But what I was looking at more is, make sure you get plenty of publicity on it where it's just open to the community. People come and see what's been built and then also meet the people that build it, the group where were you? Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville, right.
Yeah, and then, listen to their experience. What do they think about the process, and are they ready to build their own now? And all those kind of things,
right.
I just see it as a big introduce to the community, promotional, testimonial, and then, when you build something, there's always that satisfaction that goes along with it. I built that with my hand,
right.
And so there's that satisfaction that goes along with that. So you want to hear their experiences, especially for the people who've never built anything before,
I like that. And, it's all day season. And it also gives us more traction, launching into 2024. So like I said, this is something that we, I'm going to roll out there today because I'm calling everybody else up today. So I'm going to put that out there. This is reverse engineering. We're going to start from that date and work backwards. So, any other suggestions on there?
Yeah, listen, what I like about this, not this, so big deal, but really, I always teach people, you should blast out of the last year into the next year. So as L.A. saying, to have an event near the end of the year that fire people up so they go into next year already on fire and soaring rather than trying to get them out of the holiday spirit. So get transition to that. Now time to lay down and sleep and get that. But really go to work during the downtime. No, you got. So this is a great idea, I think, of doing that. Have them excited at the end of the year.
And
now
what is also good about this idea is the timing of it, Delmar and Willie, because now we have to take consensus and we have to plan. Okay. And we don't have a whole lot of planning time, but there's adequate enough, I feel, where we might be able to, to keep that momentum because every time we do a radio show, Delmar, our energy level goes up. Okay, And then
yes,
despite the rain, and we had a trying Tuesday, Faith Street Tuesday. But when I saw that first person, he was 15 minutes early in the rain. You know, that guy, because I didn't think nobody was coming. And then the second person came in, and then before you know, practically, we almost had the room. If it hadn't rained, the place would have been standing room. But the 11 we got, plus the one that came the next day, that she got stuck in the ring. So we're good. We're good. But if we get, and now this is a consensus, if we get projects built before that day, then maybe have something built that day, because by that time we would have had a little bit of experience on our belt. Get something that day when we're all boots on the ground, and then that can go, that'll push us into Thanksgiving. And then we have another date, and that'll push us into the new year. So, anyway, that's what I'm getting from it. But use that day to catapult us
right on.
What do you say, Delmar?
Right on. That's it. That's the point.
Yeah. All right. That's a good day. And then it'll keep. And then some people, you know, the holidays are kind of lonely for them. So some people might be looking for an activity or a group of people to get involved with, because I'm looking at Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're 2 days where you eat well. Now, of course, if you visit with family, all that's good. But, you know, what are you going to, you know, people got bills, you know, that attest to all this. So I think that's a good day. So once again, we're going to take consensus. I'm going to run it past. I mean, me, you, and Delmar like it. Delmar can probably attend audio or audio visual, because we can even do visuals at remotely. See what Robin says about that date. And then if we can agree on that date, then when I call the people from Tuesday and last night, I'll call them and see what the consensus is with them, because we can base everything tied into that. You know, what do we need to do project-wise before that date, and then what project are we going to do on that day? Because I think we need to do a project on that day as well, or that weekend, because the 4th is a Saturday. So I'm willing to do 2 days. We can do a project on Saturday. We can do a project on Sunday. And so it's like almost a de facto retreat. I'm just thinking out loud based on Willie's date of the 4th. What are your thoughts, the Saturday and Sunday events?
Yeah, normally in these events, I like them. You connect up on Friday night. Get that all drawn up so the Saturday morning, everybody can call for whatever the plan is.
You know what? That's excellent, Delmar. You're absolutely right, because I remember when I first got online, and particularly the interactive internet part, I was on one of these sites, you know, that had chat rooms and whatnot. So this particular chat room, you know, everybody knew everybody in the virtual world. And there were probably some telephone conversations also. But they had an event, a meet and greet in Atlanta. And that's a genius idea, man. Because I'm thinking about the first meet and greet I met from people online. And they, as Delmar stated, we met in Atlanta. It was at a happy hour. And you know what? The main event was Saturday evening. So, Delmar, that is an excellent idea. So we can meet on Friday at social,
you know, probably in, you know, late afternoon, early evening. And then we can break bread together for breakfast Saturday morning, build, meal break, build and complete. And then, you know, if people want, we can have a second day, which is Sunday. And then, you know, people head out because they got to go back home, you know. So, but Del Mar, that's excellent. This should really start on the 3rd. So,
right.
People who, you know, those who can make it on the 3rd by the evening, fine. And then because we got to plan all that out. And then those who show up on Saturday, hey, you know. Are we going to have it go up, or are we going to have it Sunday too? What was that, Delmar?
I was saying, make Saturday schedule book from start to finish. It's an all-day activity Saturday. To do something that's planned, not just drift around, but it's a plan for. Remember we talked about the Jehovah's Witness building that building?
Right.
They put it up
on
Saturday.
Yeah, well, he said Saturday there's going to be a meal, and then you build, and then the breakfast you build, another meal break, and then you finish, complete the build. That's the activity Saturday.
Yes, right. That's true. Now, what about, let me throw this out there. All right, we come in on the 3rd, which is a Friday evening. You know, 4-ish, happy hour time. although, this crowd's not a happy hour group. Well, put it this way. They might do happy hour, but they're not an alcohol group. So we're going to have to pick the appropriate place for that. What about Sunday? Any activities on Sunday?
Sunday is first Sunday, and I know for the Baptist, that's usually Lord's Supper Sunday. So they usually want to attend those things.
Okay. So, all right. Well, you know what? We can do Thursday. Excuse me. The 3rd, which is Friday.
You can still do
two.
You can
Sunday.
Still do it. You can do something on Sunday, but I would just do it. You know, I wouldn't make any different about it as far as if you want to do something Sunday morning, I don't see a problem with that. And I don't see doing something after 12 o'clock on Sunday. But so after 12 o'clock on Sunday, you're competing with football. But
I think
the people that are committed to this will go to this versus that, I think.
Robin, what are you
saying? Well, on Sunday, all right, well, you know what? Look. Like I said, we could do it by consensus. So I'm good with Friday the 3rd, start that evening, a late afternoon, early evening. Start there. There's going to be an informal meet and greet. And then we would have had a plan on what's going to happen that weekend before the 3rd of November anyway. And then have events for Saturday and Sunday. So I'm good with the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I'm good with that. And then what we can do is when I call these people this evening, afternoon or whatever, put the idea to them because we're going to tie what they do before then into that date.
And
any other? Yeah.
Keep in mind, we talk that our people who are of faith. You're not. There's no atheist. Nobody gonna oppose a prayer or something we do Sunday morning. Anything we do to recognize this is a ministry. We're not gonna leave God out of it. So Sunday is a traditional day of praise. We're not trying to lock anybody to do anything specific other than to acknowledge that we're still in God's work. We still go wherever we want to go and do what we want to do. But Sunday would be good to have some kind of spiritual acknowledgement of our identity that this is a ministry and maybe the place where we meet for the other thing. It could be somewhere that's just stop and have a devotion or a prayer or something. And then you just hear come and go. It's like an optional. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Just a thought.
I agree.
Yeah, usually Sunday morning they have a worship, praise and worship, or praise celebration.
Right.
And then I think, because we've already discussed it, that you didn't want to compete with Sundays because people are in church and first Sunday, whatever. So I'm not big on Sunday for that reason.
Well, I thought we're not carrying anybody captive as Sunday event.
No, we're not holding them captive. It's just on Sunday, we can have another build project, and there will be some people interested in that. You know what? It'll be the first one. We'll just see, just like Tuesday, you know, see how it works out. You know, so we did the radio program. Well, we didn't know who was going to call. But people called. You know, we tried it again another week. Oh, wait a minute. Double people called. Really? So, the book giveaway, that was totally unplanned. But it worked. So, it rained. Who would think people could? It worked. So far, it's been working. So,
very good.
All right, third, fourth, fifth. And, you know, we're not holding anybody down, captive or anything, you know, so. But Saturday, that's the main day. That's the main day. So, okay. Now, let's go with, Willie, where should we have it? Geographically.
I was thinking to have it right there in your home state there. Well, the state you're living
in
now.
Florida, Jacksonville,
yeah.
All right. Well, the bulk of the people, Jacksonville, and then we got the Fork and Spread 90 minutes away from Jacksonville. Delmar, you co-sign on that?
Yeah, I think it's great. Mm-hmm.
And the last of the original four, Robin, what say you?
Yes.
All right, so
agreed.
We got a consensus. We have a consensus on that. Now, where we meet in Jacksonville, we got the boots on the ground people that was on the call last night, plus there's a couple other people that are already up there that we've known as bloggers. I've been aware of them for 10 years. Robin knows these people better than I do. Chef Amadeus, I think he's up in Jacksonville, and I think Evangelist or Pastor, one of the two, Barbara Mack, she's up in that neck of the woods. So out of all those people, 12 people, we'll find a suitable place in Jacksonville for meet, eat, grill, and build, and then a place to meet that Friday. So, and then I'll solicit ideas, locations from the people who came Tuesday today. All right, so let's delve in a little bit deeper. I guess the primary activity as far as tangible on Saturday will be building and or actually, for the sake of time, assembling maybe about two projects that day. Here's what, and Delmar knows what I'm talking about. Because built like, for instance, when you assemble something, it's like a puzzle. All right, the floor, the walls, the roof, all those parts have to be built. A floor has to be built. A wall has to be built. It's not difficult to build it. And maybe we can have a demonstration of that. But with the Jacksonville people that we already got in place, they can build the parts. And then when we come together on the 4th, we can just assemble the parts like a Lego set. Matter of fact, it like IKEA. You know, IKEA is pretty popular because IKEA is basically it's DIY. You know, IKEA really sells kits. And I know my ex-wife. That's what she did. The desk, chairs, dining room table, all that, it all came in kits. So, and speaking of kits, we can have our own kit out there where they can see it. So they can see it and they can see it unveiled and, you know, assembled right there, including all of the parts. So, Willie, excellent idea, because I'm just getting more ideas thinking about it.
Kind of stuck on a phone.
That's fine.
So.
That's
just,
fine.
Just stay right here.
No rush.
Something I can bring you. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I took it off because I had to.
You did good.
Plug in my.
I had to mute her. I think she's at the doctor's office. Okay, so I'll unmute in a moment. So on Del Mar, now I got in the program. I got this idea from you last week. Build as you go business model. We can have different kits there because we can have kits and their price like build as you go. So I know they do this in the West Indies. Actually, they do this all over the world. A lot of people build their own homes instead of getting a mortgage or anything. You know, I got enough in my pocket where I can buy a floor. All right, I got my money together. All right, I can buy all 4 walls to the house. I can buy a roof. So we can have each part, in addition to having a completely built structure assembled, we can also have the different parts in different kits, DIY style, and, you know, how much they cost per kit. And because that gives a person an idea, because some of these people that are paying $1,000 a month rent, give me $500. I can walk into Home Depot, Lowe's, or Ace Hardware store, any place. I'm not going to get everything I need. But if I got enough to put together a basic kitchen, I'll do it. With $500, I can get a box of screws or some drywall or whatever. So you with $1,000, it's quite a bit you can get that you can make into a building part. And just, build as you go based on the – so anyway, that I'm thinking out loud again on that. Any thoughts on that, Willie or Dama?
Nope, Chuck, you got it.
All right, let's see if Robin is back available again. Robin, you there available?
Yeah.
I'm
here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, so, all right. All right, now, we're going to, I'm assuming, and I'm about to shut my mouth at the ass just because there's two people that can chime on this, Willie and Robin. All right, this event will be live streamed, I imagine. So, it can be live stream on Friday, Saturday, and if we do anything Sunday, Sunday. So, Willie, I'm a throw the ball to you. What's your vision on live streaming an event starting Friday? And after you give your comments, then Robin can pick up.
Just mainly hitting your Facebook page and put your live stream on your Facebook page. Everything work out right, I'll bring some gear with me, and we go from there.
Okay.
Robin, so we already have our television. We already have our DIY TV that's streaming right to your Facebook, your Twitter. I'm sorry, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Mixcloud, Roku, Amazon Fire, Boxcast. We're broadcasting live across it right now.
All right, now, let's see if we want to.
It's not visual though, right? It's just audio.
Right now, as we're speaking here, yeah, but we can go visual.
That's what I'm saying.
That
option is there, right?
We're broadcasting audio because we're only originating an audio signal, but it is a TV channel with a video portion. Yes, sir.
Okay
so I got to go, you guys.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Let's see.
Now,
Delmar, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Willie.
I was just going to say, so since she has the connection, only thing we have to do is open up a video side of it.
Right.
And I have a camera or two that we can set up to where maybe we have two cameras and I have the ability to switch between camera shots and all that kind of stuff. So, and that was where I'm going. And then, of course, you know, having people mic'd up and, you know, do little interviews with them or whatever. So,
I think
it'll work
good
out. It'd be more of a broadcast style setup.
All right, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Now, what about? Because what I want to set up also with this event is an e-commerce, have this event set up an e-commerce portion, which we can sell stuff via Facebook Live, stuff that you can do on YouTube Live. If we do a Zoom call, that can tap into a YouTube Live where we're building in, you know, like I said, we can create an e-commerce portion to this where it's generating revenue, as well as Etsy and eBay and probably even Craigslist. So we set up e-commerce. And I featured this a couple of times a year at least. In China, there's a de facto holiday over there. I don't know if it's an official one, but it's a cultural month called Singles Day. And it's really not based on being, that's what it's called. Okay. But on Singles Day, their Singles Day in China is their Black Friday. But their Black Friday dwarfs what we do commerce-wise than what Black Friday does in the United States. And with Singles Day, you have people with their smartphones, and they set up, I mean, you have farmers that they sell, they sell out harvest. I mean, everybody just does a lot, well, not everybody, but a lot of people do a lot of live stream selling on November the 11th. And that, like I say, that's China's Black Friday. But they actually dwarf the United States Black Friday because they just, I mean, it's farmers, anybody that you can think of, any type of item that you can think of, they sell it. I mean, regular individuals with their smartphones. So I would like, you know what, that's about a week and so from that. So I'm liking your idea more and more, Willie. So we can put an e-commerce component in there as well. Where some of our members in the Jacksonville area or whatever, not even if they're in Jacksonville, they can tap into this and, enhance the event. So I'm just thinking out loud too. That's my thought. And with Build As You Go, we can have Build As You Go kits. We can have Build As You Go bathrooms, a bathroom kit, a Build As You Go kitchen set, a kitchen kit, a Build As You Go building frame, or comprehensive kit with everything that you need. So, Delmar, what are your thoughts on that?
Great, go ahead. Sounds great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's what I do. when I have an important date, matter of fact, true story. When my mother passed away 4 years ago, or transition, whatever you want to call it, she left behind no written instructions. No will, no trust, nothing. I haven't found anything in 4 years. So I'm fortunate in a way that I didn't have to fight with anybody over the estate because I'm an only child. So I haven't had to fight with anybody. So I've I haven't had to open probate. So, I don't have a judge down my back, do this, do that. So I've been able to do everything legally for four years here, going on to five. So now I'm going to say there are two things that I think have protected and prospered and sustained me dealing with my mother's estate, leaving no instructions and leaving liabilities behind, which legally I can walk away from. But I'm trying to preserve what she built. So one of them is I'm a big believer in tithes and offerings. I don't go to church that much in person. I might go online occasionally, but I'm a big believer in tithes and offerings based on a sermon I heard on given by the late Fred Price back in, man, it had to be the 80s. And I was behind on my mortgage payment on a four-unit apartment building I bought in D.C. I was behind $4,000. I was facing foreclosure on that. The loan was in default. So this Sunday morning, I used to listen to him on Channel 5 WTCG in Washington, D.C. on Sunday mornings. And he, his main thing was faith. That's he's none other topics, but that was his at that time. So this particular Sunday, he was talking about tithes and offerings. So after the sermon, and he had a book that he put out called High Finances, which is all about tithes and offerings. So I had $4 in cash. I had $4 in cash. So I took that $4 in cash and put it in an envelope and sent it off to Ever Increasing Faith Ministries, Post Office 90,000, Los Angeles, California. I think the zip code was 90009, something like that. Sent it off on Sunday morning and forgot about it. When I got home that night, my mother told me that somebody that we knew, well, they were willing to loan me $4,000 so I can catch up the mortgage, get the house or get the apartment building, was a small four-unit one, out of foreclosure. Since that day, I've been a tithing and offering person. I read over 100, after that, I read over 100 books on it, listened to every lecture I could on it. So going back to, because I'm trying to tie it into this event so I won't forget, is that's one of the things that kept me going. The second thing that's kept me going is when I get dates, like, logically, I should have been with my mother's estate now. I should have, which is over $1 million, she left, but not in cash. She didn't leave it. Okay. She didn't leave any cash behind. She left behind buildings and assets. Okay. And they have tax liability on it, so I can't do anything with it, you know, in that sense. But what's kept me for 4 years now, going on in five, is the second thing besides tithing offerings is intercessory prayer. Every time I get a court date, I write it down, and typically the court date is 3 months, typically 90 days, up 60 to 90 days, okay? I put it down. I have an app on my phone called Prayer Minder. It reminds you, you set it to how many times that you want to be reminded for a particular prayer that you put into the app. Now, I got about 10 or 12 prayers going on the app right now. So I'll give an example. Now, on we had our first meet and greet on the 26th. This is this past Tuesday. I had a court date on the 27th, the next morning. Now, in my phone on the Prayer Minder app, 3 months ago, I put in, September the 27th, 2023, that God shows me, blesses me with favor, and I have success in court. I prayed, started that prayer 3 months ago before the 27th. Now, on the status hearings, you know, that they're done remotely by phone with the court system in this particular case. Now, so far in 4 years, I could have been foreclosed on I don't know how many times. All I know is by giving those tithes and offerings and intercessory prayer, I've been able to get 4 years worth of extensions, typically 3 months. All right. Yesterday, you know, I'm coming back from Jacksonville. I get back in here after midnight. And then I take a cat nap, wake up, talk to somebody on the phone, then take another cat nap because I knew I had to go to court and by phone. And I wake up at 8:52 or something like that. And I typically have my court paper because you got to call in. I didn't have the number in front of me, the access code and all that, and I had to find it. So because they start roll calling in a 9 o'clock hour. So I got it. I called in, and nobody was on the phone. So I just hung in there. About 9:25 at the latest, they started doing roll call. They called my telephone number up, ending in 0605. That's me. I gave the case number. Okay, they got everybody called in. And I wasn't in communication with the opposing lawyer's side. Okay. And which they've been working, you would think they're my lawyer, but that's a whole other story. So, although I sent them a text, but they didn't respond to it. So, when they called my case, okay, the judge, they always typically go with the lawyer, you know, the representation of the the plaintiff's side first, because I'm my mother's estate is the defendant. Okay, so he called and said, "Your Honor, now mind you, I haven't spoken to this dude in 3 months. Your Honor, I'm requesting an extension of more time." That's all he said. And then the judge, you know, asked the, you know, the clerk, "Well, what do we have?" You know, they said, "Now this is night, the, what do you call it, September the 27th. And then the clerk says, "Well, Your Honor, we have March the 20th open as the next available court date for this particular case." I'm sitting there, I ain't saying nothing. And then the judge goes back to the plaintiff, who has all the power, to say, "Shut it down." Okay. He says, "Well, that's, that date is fine with me, Your Honor." Then he comes to me, I'm the last one. "Is that good with you, Mr. Davis?" I said, "Your Honor, March the 20th, 2024, which is 6 months from now." I didn't say it like that, though. I was humble. I said, "Your Honor, that works for me." And then he said, the judge says, "Well, if there's no more other business, you two can hang up the phone. That's all for you for today. Thank you." Because he has other cases. So I'm attributing that to two things, the tithes and offerings, but if you're not into that, okay, intercessory prayer. So I'm saying all that to say this. I'm putting into my phone this morning, November the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, that we are blessed with favor and success for the idea that Willie came up with. That's where I'm at with it, and I'm off my soapbox for now.
Amen.
Amen.
I had to give you the backstory for that, because like that. I'm not an over religious person. All that. I'm just doing what has worked for me, and I believe it'll work for anybody. Like I said, some people are sketchy on the tithes and offerings. I mean, I do it, but I'm a true believer that prayer. I mean, but just this week. But that is, like I said, that my mother's estate could have been foreclosed on, every 50 shades of foreclosure. But I've been able to keep everything intact legally, I believe, through prayer. Intercessory prayer. I don't wait till the last minute. Now, there's a lot of things I do on a daily as things pop up. But like I got in my phone, March 20th, 2024, that's the next court date. Now, my plan now, let's go to my plan now, because as Robin, I like the way Robin phrases James, I forgot the thing, faith without works is death. Okay, mm-hmm. So now my action plan, okay, part B is what we've been talking about. We shall build houses and live in them. So, all right, I got a roof over my head, so I want to build and sell the people that will live in them or rent them out. That's my plan to, on a private level, to extinguish the debt. So by the time March 20th rolls around in 2024, the plaintiff side will say, "Your Honor, the debt," and we also go into 2 Kings 4:1-7. The plaintiff side will be able to say, "Your Honor, the debt has been satisfied. We're happy. You can dismiss the case," and the judge will say, "Dismissed." That's my 6 months goal on what I just told you, and what we've been talking about. That will be my way to get there. So I sleep at night based on that.
What about Jubilee, where the debt is forgiven in the year of Jubilee?
I'm not counting on it in this case. I'm just happy. Look, I got all those extensions, and but like this time,
you
they gave me a 6 month
because
extension.
Because you ask not.
I'm
you
not going to take no chances.
You ask not.
You know what?
Amen.
After the money is accumulated, and I go to the tax office and pay it, if they tell me that at the tax office, and I'll get it in writing. That's the only, but right now, I'm moving towards paying it. That's the way I'm going to pay it off. Anyway, so.
Yeah, well, it sounds.
That strategy can be used for anything.
Yeah, it's a solid plan. And it's, you know, very, 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 very good. See, because God, he knows your heart. So it's the intention of your heart. So this is really good. Really good.
Well, let me add on another, the way I'm thinking also. There's another, I don't know the verse in the Bible or nothing like that. But the story of David and Goliath. Now, the way I'm applying that in my life, and fundamentally we can apply this in anybody's life. All right, we know David came there with 5 stones. So the way I'm looking at it is, all right, he came there with 5 strategies to defeat Goliath. All right, now, so I'm looking at, all right, what are my 5 strategies? All right, 2 of my strategies, which I've already shared, are spiritual. Tithes and offerings, that's 1 strategy. That's helped me keep over $1 million estate intact for 4 years because other people have been foreclosed on. I haven't. All right, so then the other one is intercessory prayer. I do things on the fly every day. But on certain things like quarter princes and all that, you know, it's – and in this day, that this event that we're talking about, I'm putting that in my phone today as intercessory prayer so the event will go smooth and, you know, and all that. So now those are two of my weapons or strategies. Now, in the natural strategies is the building – and then we can detach that. Then I have to come up with 2 more strategies. Now, going back to the story of David and Goliath, you might only have to use 1 strategy. The first one he used, it worked. That's all he needed. But the thing is, he had 4 backup strategies. Now, that's the way that story is speaking to me in what I'm going through in life right now. It might speak to you differently. But I'm just saying, because what I've noticed in these remote hearings for these people that are dealing with property taxes, there's 2 major distinctions here. Number one, practically all of the plaintiffs' have lawyers. Most of those plaintiffs have been white lawyers. There might be 1 or 2, maybe 3 black lawyers. Every defendant in the last 3 or 4 years that I've heard on these remote calls, because when you call in, they're going by court, you know, by phone, or you can tune in. They got a Zoom system, too, or an audio-visual system, too. Every last defendant, and this is in Washington, D.C., has been black. So obviously there's a void there. And Washington, D.C. has been gentrified. There's a void there of information on property taxes, how to get them paid, how to avoid foreclosure. There's a number of topics like that. So that's one of the things I would like to do with Abiding Faith Ministry is Because I know there are people that go into church or call pastor, pastor. We already know, the you know, pastor, my light's out. The water's out. You know, I got, pastor hears that. And I know in a lot of those same churches, they might have an estate issue.